Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode. Busting through lifting stalls, what do you do? And one of the questions that Luke and I were prompted with was someone had my lift stalled week 5 of a training program. Do I need a deload? And I literally like this question because it gets into decision-making and going through almost like a decision tree.
Mm-hmm.
If is your lift truly stalled or is it stalled? And then what do you do? And so I think when I hear this question around, do I need to deload, my lift is stalled? My first thing is the lift actually stalled? So, Luke, maybe that's where we can start talking about this. And where we break apart if someone's lift truly is stalled? What variables should they be looking at to dissect before jumping into deload week or restructuring their whole workout?
Yeah, so the default here for most people, so not me, people coming to me with this problem, is they want to go straight to the program design and change it. Right, that's the first thing they want to do because the program design is putting them in a place where they have to deload every fifth week or they're stalling every fifth week, right? I tend more so to look at the life variables and the ability to execute on the things that drastically impact performance first and see where did those things go. And then also ask the question further, is 1 week of matching a logbook actually a lift stalling? Because in most cases, that's where people are actually coming to you. It's like they squatted hack squat like 6 plates per side by 10, and they did it again this next week. It's like that is not a lift stalling. That is a match performance on one set of your entire training program, right? There's so much more to whether a lifts are actually stalling than one set. And this is typically where people are coming to me is like, they didn't beat their top set. And it's like, well, let's break this down a little bit and start to dive into, you know, was it the whole session that stalled or was it just this one set? And then also, was there outside variables that affected that? Because this really starts to get into the actual, like, what potentially could be the problem rather than the program. And we can get into some program things that could cause it, but I go there first because 9.5 times out of 10, I find it in one of those sections.
Yeah, I think... So you bring up a good point. Like for one, how do you define a stall? And almost before you even can define a stall, because it's going to vary what a stall looks like for someone that's a beginner versus someone is advanced, is that you almost need to standardize the environment of training to be able to even pull out if it's a stall directly from a stimulus versus a recovery side, like training enough or training too little or too much versus under or over recovering. You can't really almost decide on that if your weekly environment is varying so much with your recovery tools that might swing you into not seeing a lift progression because of that. And you need to address those areas. So but before you would be going into deloading or training your session. So what does that look like to optimize recovery tools? So if someone said, hey, my lift stalled, okay. How has sleep been this, even the night before, but also stringing together weeks of going to bed at the same time, waking the same time, and getting that 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night? It's like, oh man, I had a string of days where I only got 5 hours of sleep, and then I had to get up really early that one day, and then, yep, that training session, it was kind of shit. It's like, yeah, that's because you just weren't recovering, so let's fix sleep. Not change the training program. Also nutritionally, where are you? You know, are you missing meals? Are you in a calorie surplus? Are you not in a surplus? Like all those would matter for seeing lift stalls and the environment that's there. And then what about stress management? Are you had some big argument with your wife that morning, then you got to work late and the boss yelled at you and you missed your project due date, and then you went and trained and you're mentally fried and you couldn't hit that top set? Yeah, that might be more of the issue just for that day. Doesn't mean we need to change the training program or deload. So, you know, those are the kind of the three areas to look at: stress management, sleep, also nutritionally, and being routine in those. And then from there, we might be able to say, like, well, okay, we held all those quality and we're very monotonous in our bodybuilding pursuits. What is lift stalling at that point? I mean, I sleep perfect. I nail my nutrition. Like, I manage my stress really exceptionally well. And I'm seeing lift stalls. So from a beginner point of view, you should almost see lift progression like every single week. As you get more advanced, these lift progressions will come slower and slower to where it might not happen on every lift, or it might be like micro loading that does occur. And so that lift stalling is where I would say nothing across the board has moved. For someone that's advanced, that could be for, if you're enhanced, I think you can almost always make some progression nearly in some exercise week to week. But I'd say 2-3 weeks of stuff just not moving across the board, we easily say something's going on. Mm-hmm. It's wrong. And I would almost know this being in my position, like after a week. And I think the question from there, if your lifts aren't progressing, and usually it's more of the how do you feel question. It's like, dude, I feel buried. It's like, yeah, fatigue's just crazy high. And you come to a point where that deload would be there. I think it's usually less likely that someone feels amazing and their lifts are starting to stall. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I know for me, I would notice like the sixth gear would kind of start to not be there for me, like in sets. And that was kind of more because I could just trudge through or whatever, right, and figure it out, even if I didn't feel 100% and still progress. And then it was like that, all right, this is the progression route. It's time to dig in and get it. And then it's just like there's no way that's going up. That's, for me, where the fatigue buildup would happen. What I do tend to find from a feedback perspective, though, is that people let the subjective metrics skew before they actually see the performance detriment. And so I'm trying to build an environment where they're giving that feedback beforehand so that if you, and to bring it back to the question, like if you're seeing that week 5 stall, it's always one of the variables that I brought up in the beginning because I'm watching these subjective metrics so closely that I know that it's one of these driving this issue with the performance metric and it's not actually the program design. Now, that then starts to get into like, what do you talk about with deloads? When do you deload? But I bring that point up, I bring that point up because when we look at like general program design as a whole, we shouldn't be setting volume metrics with the goal of being close to our maximal volume we're going to train with or anywhere near that when we start a program. So that's kind of where like, if you're ticking your boxes on there, I'm going back to week one and looking at this program design from here because I just, man, I track those metrics for clients so closely. I know like that's always where it is for me because like if they are not performing, it's typically one of those unless they've been on that program design long enough to warrant a deload.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. And it's, I mean, even with the variable setup right, there is an accumulation that's going to occur. Like you're, if you're in an off season, you're like, maybe PDs are escalating, your body weight's escalating, you're keep adding load and reps to the bar. At some point, fatigue will catch up to you and you will need to do something with it. It's, and that's like the question of how do you feel, right? Because you brought up a point around lift progression and you're having to kick into sixth gear and you might be starting to stall sooner than what your logbook can even show. Just because training harder doesn't mean you're necessarily progressing from a adaptation you had occur from your last session, right? So people usually go to chase the logbook like Luke and I, we love to do. It's like, well, I got to match this load and reps I did last time, or that means my session isn't successful. I'm not getting that good stimulus. And that just is not the case. Training harder doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get more stimulus. Just simply you're putting more effort in. And if anything, if you have some fatigue that's already there, you might be already at a predisposed like limitation to getting stimulus in the muscle. So don't think like taking a load and rep match doesn't have, mean it's any less stimulating on a week-to-week basis. You don't always have to do more. I think that caters more into the advanced athlete because the beginner, why they're able to do more is because they adapted from the last session. So if you see someone that their lifts are starting to slow down, it simply might mean they're getting a little bit more advanced. Not that something needs to change. It's like, yeah, this is called what happens when you grow muscle and you keep doing so over time. Like, your lifts are going to slow down. It doesn't mean something's wrong. It just is what it is. So I think we can't always make the big week-to-week progressions like we did when we were first starting a training, or you have that first introduction to gear. And even for that matter, the first introduction to gear, like in the off-season, lifts start moving, right? But they're going to slow down still. And you'll hit a rate that is going to be kind of trudging along. And you just need to sit there with those lifts. It doesn't mean change them. It just means keep going at them. And on a lift per lift basis, some stuff is not going to move as quick as others. Your big compound, multi-muscle type movements are going to move faster because the increment you can move those up at is a lot easier to gauge versus someone that is doing like a bicep curl. It's a lot harder to progress it. Doesn't mean you have a bad program. Just means like the try to increase a rep or a load, it's a huge percentage increase. And that's just too fast of a rate of progression for the adaptation that you're getting from the previous session. Maybe that was way too convoluted of me saying all that. But stalling, in other words, just because you're getting more advanced, it doesn't mean necessitate a program change either. Mm. It just means you got to sit with the program for longer and be patient.
Yeah, which I'm not going to get on soapbox on this. I'm saying this now so I don't get on soapbox about this. But the rate of skill acquisition for advanced athletes is different than a beginner as well. And so that's where you see a lot of more advanced guys feel like they're stalled or slowed week 4, week 5, week 6 of a pattern because their time duration to relearn how to do a movement. It's like new program design, new movement in. You know, week 1, 2, you're really just kind of Bambi figuring it out again. But you jump from Bambi to sprinting within week 3. And so week 4 and week 5 are going to slow significantly relative to 1, 2, 3 because your advanced experience in lifting shortens that time duration of learning the skill of how to perform the movement. A beginner, they could go a full training program without fully learning the skill of how to squat efficiently, right? And so a lot of those progressions are taken simply from improving the skill relative alone to actually progressing from a stimulus standpoint. Like the stimulus progresses as well, but it's more the skill that progressed than anything else. So that's another place where people will get up in arms about like program change pretty quick when they see it slow pretty fast week 4, week 5. And then you ask them like, how was the pump? Oh, the pump was great. It was killer. It was unbelievable. Did you feel like you could have done more? No, it was a great session. I really went in and left and I just didn't beat the logbook. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, you're probably having good sessions. It's just you're an advanced athlete who knows how to do these lifts, and that's the end of it.
Right. Yeah, I could I get that question a lot. And so some people just get bored too.
Yeah.
I've had people be like, hey, can we change this program up? Like, I'm just getting bored. Like, are your lifts progressing? It's like, yeah, okay, well, maybe we have a variation there, but I mean, it doesn't mean we need to change the entire session either. Mm. That's another thing around like even your advanced athletes that you're bringing up, like we can, gain that skill acquisition really fast for a lift, and it just means like you don't need to have such a volume progression across your entire, weekly block either. So, like on that per session basis, like we're kind of right out the gate, you're going to get pretty high stimulus, which I think that's something to just be mindful of. Do you think you think with someone that's a beginner, they could, since they don't progress as quick, that just means they won't, it's likely they're not going to run into that deload wall faster than someone that is advanced, because like the first week you set up someone's volume and you're like, oh, okay, feeling the waters, this feels fine. Then week two, they're like, I'm buried, because they could like gain the loads reps so quickly on those new lifts. Yeah. I think that's what I can find, where you set up a program initially pretty good, especially if you're like introducing gear and you're like, you know, feeling the waters of your first week and you kind of set things up. Then next week, like everything's hitting, you're progressing big jumps. And then by week three, you're like, oh man, I'm so screwed. So I think that's a story of caution with someone that's advanced and probably programming around that psychology, if you're watching them closely, of how they quickly could, they could progress up those lifts, and maybe they actually could run into the need of deloading. I think I usually find like with more of these advanced guys, things start getting beat up more before they actually see like actual stalls. I think it's probably more the psychology that I get, like yourself, Luke, where they can just keep training harder to fool themselves that they're still progressing. And likely something needed to happen earlier on, but usually it's like, oh man, my knee's starting to get like a little twinge in it or something. And it's like, yeah, we should probably just pull it back for a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I think just to circle back, to bring it back to the question, it is rare that I find it's the program design that causes the week five stall. I do always err on the side of caution with volume typically, so that's potentially why. But most of the time, it's one of these variables we just listed out in this entire conversation.
Yeah, I powerlifted, right? So we would running like a West Side barbell approach, like you would have deloads pretty frequently. But then moving into bodybuilding, that really wasn't even a thing. And so I trained for a long time without ever really needing a deload. Not that that was right, but just saying, you can do things acutely. Just because you feel a little off for a couple of days, to get back into training fully and giving good stimulus without having some type of set 7-day deload schedule, just because, you know, lifts were a little off for a couple of days. For a lot of times, just taking a few days off from the gym is enough just to get back and jump right back into training, to not need this drastic pullback for 7 days. Then restarting your whole session and building your volume back up, I think it just leads to a lot of unproductive training time. Uh-huh. So if we're the person where we're talking, these recovery variables can get off and you have a good program, get your variables in line, but maybe something on the acute side just needs to change just to freshen you up a bit, and then jump right back into training fully.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Cool. I say we wrap it up there, Luke.
Yeah, I think so.
I got nothing else to say about it.
No, I don't either. I was like trying to think of anything else to add, but I think that covers it. And just it's quick takeaways of where to look and solve the problem and then keep moving.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Let us know if you have any questions down in the comments section, and we will talk to you next time.